you, dear Lord. Blessed be your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. And because, just because, and because, just because, and because, just because, he's gone. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Lord. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking for. You can't preach in this atmosphere or sit down. God bless you, musicians. Thank you for each and every one for your part tonight, and especially those that labored to bring a special song tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you love them? Yeah. I'm so looking forward to being gathered together with you and a whole bunch of others. Amen. And giving them praise. In the meantime, the highest praise we can give him on this side is to believe his word. Amen. And allow his word to have preeminence in our lives. Amen, amen. Seeing is appearing, part two. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should suffer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I don't want to call that an unclean thing. I don't want to downplay that, downgrade it. I believe it's complete. Amen. I believe he accomplished what he set out to do. I believe he totally paid that price. So it gives us the liberty and the freedom to walk in the benefits of that. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he never had sin himself, but he took upon himself our sin, but that sin question's been settled. So he will appear the second time without sin, but you will appear without sin.
Hallelujah.
Unto salvation. And that takes place before the body change.
Yes.
That better have happened already, or be in the process of happening. Amen. Otherwise, how are you uniting with, how is this invisible union being formed? Revelation 3:18, the message to our day, and in particular, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Now Laodicea claims to be rich and has need of nothing, and they certainly do have gold, but the wrong kind of gold. He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, the message of the hour, that thou mayest see. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. How many would like to be remembered in prayer? Let's bow our heads. Father, as we look to the dust of the earth that we were formed from, Lord. We bring nothing of our own that would merit your favor. We bring nothing. We can't brag about anything. We can't check a box and say, I did this, and so now it's time for you to do that. Lord, we just plead the blood this evening. We just plead your mercy, and we're so thankful for it, Lord. And we've come together, Lord, in obedience to your word. You told us to come together often, and especially the more so as we see the day approaching and the evil time. And you promised where two or more are gathered that you'd be in our midst. So, Lord, we know that your word is true. It cannot come into you, return to you void, but it'll accomplish what you sent it to do. And we know that your word is true, no matter what we may think or what others may think or say or what the devil may try to convince us of. Your word has the preeminence, and your word is true. So, Lord, we know that you're here tonight, and it's a privilege to worship you, Lord. It's a privilege to sit at your feet as you minister to us your word. And we ask, Lord, that you'd speak to each and every one of us the portion of the word that we need for this moment in time. Lord, we believe that you go before us. We certainly believe you're a healer and a deliverer and a lifter of the broken heart and all of these things. But, Lord, we believe that your perfect will is for your word to go before us. You're the great and mighty conqueror. You're our champion. You're our leader. We're not asking you to follow us and then fix things in our lives, but we're following you, Lord. And it's an honor, and it's a privilege, and it's a great walk, Lord. It's a blessed walk, and we're blessed people to be living in this time, in this hour. Now, Lord, may your word find its resting place, and then may you be exalted, Lord, by the word being lived out in our lives. May it bring attention to you. May it bring glory to you. May it further your kingdom. May it find that last soul, Lord, whose name's written on the Lamb's Book of Life, and whosoever will that would accept you, Lord, and the payment that you paid, the price that you paid, and we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. We love you and we thank you now, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul tells us, to those that are looking for him, he shall appear. Isn't that wonderful? Not he might, or it's possible. If you roll the dice, if you click your heels so many times and spin around and say there's no place like home and look towards Kansas or whatever it might be. No hocus pocus. We don't have to try to flatter him. We don't have to try to cajole him. We're promised if we look for him, he shall appear. And we see that in the ministry of his first coming, Jesus was entirely focused on the goal, the reason, the purpose that he was placed here on the earth. And he did not deviate one bit to the left or the right of it. He kept his focus. He kept his eye upon the goal. Now, we're not talking about sincerity. We understand that sincerity is important and necessary, but sincerity alone, there's a lot of sincere people out there that are misguided. You can be sincerely wrong and be sincere. So certainly sincerity is necessary, and it's something that we need, but there's other things that need to be there as well. What we're talking about here tonight is our focus. And when you're focused on a goal, you hardly notice what's going on around you. You know, my wife is always pointing out to me, and I guess my daughter inherited this, and I'm waiting to see if it shows up. You know, these different traits will show up maybe in your grandkids or whatever. But, you know, when I'm concentrating on something, I tend to stick my tongue out like this, and I don't even know that I'm doing it, right? Because I'm concentrating on something. I've got my eye on a goal, and sure enough, my daughter does the same thing. And, you know, maybe you've got some other way that you show it. Maybe you kick your leg up, or I don't know. But it is true that when you're focused, sometimes depending on what it is that we're doing, it could actually be a little bit of a safety issue if we completely zone out on what's around us. But when you're completely focused on a goal, you hardly notice. And so we bring this up because all the things that are happening around us in life that we tend to want to focus on and judge, complain about, moan about, whatever, if you're focused on the goal, you don't hardly see that. And we are all here for a purpose. And this message has helped us to find our purpose, to find ourselves in the volume of the book. So it's more than just, we believe in this, but it's more than just having a nice home. It's more than just having a nice church. And when I say a nice home, I mean a home that's set aside for the Lord. And it's more than just having a nice church. It's more than just having a nice job and a nice paycheck and a family. Those things are good, and those things are wonderful. But those things are not the goal for us in this lifetime. That's not what we're trying to achieve. Jesus could have had a family. He could have married and had a natural family, but he forgoed that, or however you say that word. He bypassed that, sanctified himself for our sake. So those things, they come as benefits along the way, but those things are temporal, right? We appreciate them. We, you know, they're great blessings, but they will pass away. Our goal is to see Christ and to be changed into his image, first spiritually and then later physically. But how would you know if you're being changed into his image if you're not keeping your eye on a goal? To use an analogy that we started this morning, we'll just carry it on a little bit. If you had a pistol and you aim that pistol at the ground and you pulled the trigger, you shouldn't be surprised if you hit the ground, right? Because that's what you were aiming at, right? But if you aim at a target, you shouldn't be surprised if you hit the target either, because that's what you were aiming at. Now, you will see him if that's what you're looking for. Amen. How many knows that's the truth? Amen. How many can say amen? I'm a witness. And you see the living word for your day if you're looking to it. But in order to see the divine promises of the word come to pass in your life, we have to keep our focus on the word. We have to look and live. We have to look to his word. We have to put his word first. That's what it means to give his word the preeminence. It means that's where your focus is at. That's where your attention is at. That's what you talk about. That's what you get up in the morning and meditate upon. Now, Satan will try to influence each and every one of us by the world, and of course his first tactic is to try to pull you back into the world, right? And try to get you to try to find some kind of a satisfaction. But if you're a son or daughter of God, it won't satisfy. So if he can't pull you away, then the next thing he'll try and do is to distract you from your goal. And he may distract you on things that are not sinful. They're just things that get your eye off the ball, you know. But you will not fall when you keep your eyes upon the living word, when you keep your eyes on him. So God watches over his word to bring it to pass. And so we should be watching his word as well, because it will come to pass. So Brother Branham tells us about a rifle that he had. It wasn't a very expensive rifle. It was one that came off an assembly line. It was a Winchester Model 50, I believe it was. And he noticed that rifle started missing when he would hunt squirrels. And he knew it wasn't him. He knew the difference between the operator and the equipment, because he was so skilled at it. He was a crack shot, and he only needed one bullet when he went to shoot a squirrel, and he would always shoot the squirrel in the eye. And so when he would hunt squirrels, he would aim and hit the squirrel in the eye. He didn't have to have an AK. Pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa-pa. One bullet, right? And his Winchester one day, it started missing. He was still hitting the squirrel, but he wasn't hitting it in the eye any longer. Now, I'd just be happy to hit it. I don't know about you. So he took the rifle out to the range, and that's what you do. You try to find out, okay, what is it doing, and you try to get yourself out of the equation as best you can. You put it on a bench and get it in a rest. You line it up on the target, and so took it to the range, and he fired several bullets at the target, and it wasn't that the scope was out of alignment or the sights were out of alignment, but he noticed that the bullets, the pattern, spread out a little bit more on the chart, whereas before it was like a tack driver. He was shooting a bullet right through the same bullet hole, that he'd been shooting before, which you'd have to be able to do that if you're going to do an eye shot, because an eye is about the size, a squirrel's eye is about the size of the bullet that you're trying to shoot it with, a little tiny 22 caliber bullet. So he was he wasn't happy, and so he sent the target that he just shot at, along with a letter and the rifle, back to the manufacturer, and told him that there must be something wrong with it because it's not shooting like it had in the past. And the rifle company told him that, you know, the accuracy that you had been giving, you know, getting, what you claim that you were able to do before, that's greater than what we claim that it can do. You know, our assembly line and our tolerances are such that, you know, we can guarantee 1-inch spread, perhaps at 50 yards, whatever it might have been, that your bullets will be within a certain range, and we've looked at it, and guess what? It's in that range. So here's your rifle back. They said, there's nothing wrong with your rifle. What you're expecting to do with it is not what it was designed to do. They said the grouping of the bullets on the target was within the advertised accuracy, and it was, and that no better should be expected. But the one that he had was shooting very small groups consistently until something changed, right? And this prophet was made, this man was made in such a way that it was important to him to hit the target. You never heard him say, close enough. Aren't you glad? What does this scripture mean? Well, let me explain it to you. Well, close enough. And he's going to turn your heart. And you're going to believe that he has thus saith the Lord. So close enough was not even in his vocabulary. Listen to this in the message, look from Phoenix. He says, and I sat down there when the other brethren were shooting at squirrels. Anywhere they wanted to hit them was all right. Mid-center, back, or anywhere. And I sat under a tree and I was crying. And I said, God, I'm so nervous. I can't hold myself together. Why did you make me a little nervous fellow like this? He made him that way for a purpose. Just like he made you the way you are for a purpose. And I realized where I'm standing here, the Bible before me, and a voice just as plain as you would hear mine said, you were made thus for a purpose. Amen. Sometimes that's all we need to hear. Amen. There's nothing wrong with you. You're supposed to be weird. You know that rifle is going to zero once, because if it zeroed once, rather, it'll zero again. It's the same rifle. Therefore, I see it. See, if obeying this word, taking this rangefinder and bring it down to a place till I can see the same thing those apostles saw, the same gospel that they preached, it'll produce the same results, because it did for them. And it'll strike the target every time. You see why he had to even have that experience? And you see why he couldn't settle for, well, close enough? Because when it comes to these signs shall follow them that believe, we don't want close enough. We want these signs to follow. If the word says thus and thus, we want thus and thus. We don't want close enough. We want exactly thus saith the Lord. And nothing less than that. He says, no matter what the churches says and what the people who claims to be, I know it'll do it. Because, and there is what I want to look at, that word, to see that it's exactly in focus, to see the same vision that they saw. Now, of course, a prophet preaches by vision, because the Lord, the word comes to him by vision. And so he saw the same thing that they saw, saw the same vision, and it produced for them. So if he sees the same vision, it'll produce for him. And when he tells you about it, it'll produce for you. And he says, and it'll do the same job that it did for them. It'll heal the sick. How many believes that? It'll raise the dead. It'll cast out devils. It'll bring forth a glorious church who's willing to seal their testimony with their own blood if it becomes necessary to do that, because it depends on what you are looking at. He says, now, if I look to what the Winchester Company said, which is supposed to be the one that made the gun, then I would have, if I would have listened to them, but I know different. He knew what the gun was capable of because he'd already done it. It was already demonstrated. He says, now, if I look to the church and they say, oh, them days is gone. There's no such thing as that. See, where would you be? I'd be plumb off the target. But if he is ever God, and he is still God, he always was God, and he can't be nothing else but God, and he is God eternal. Therefore, we want to look to that target, not what the church is shooting at, but what the target that Christ is shooting at, what the Word is shooting at. We look for Christ to appear, he says, the same Jesus. He said when he was here on the earth, a little while and the world seeth me no more, but yet you shall see me, for I will be with you to the end of the world. That same one who could direct the Word and be the Word and direct it straight on to the target, that same Lord Jesus is here this morning in the form of the Holy Spirit, to direct our thoughts and focus down his word to one true and living God, to one purpose, to one achievement. And if we'll just let him do it, he will focus the word right into the place that it'll prove that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's not even a matter of us doing it. It's just us letting go and letting God prove his word. But it depends on what you want to look at, he says. We must focus our lives, he says. Not what somebody else says, but focus our lives to him. And he is the Word. And if we get our lives lined up with the Word, then the Word and our life becomes the same. In fact, the Word is declaring your life. The Word is declaring beforehand what your life is. He said, if you abide in me and my word in you, then ask what you will, and it'll be granted to you. Verily, 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 I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that that what you have said will come to pass, you can have what you said. Oh my, not what I said, what you said. You can have, because you and he becomes the same, because the mind that was in Christ is in you. And the mind that was in Christ was to fulfill the Father's word. He said, I must be about my Father's business. So if that same mind is in you, guess what? It will be to fulfill the will of the Father, which he was the Word. There you are, he says. Then, oh, listen to this. Then you and the Word are focused in together. Amen. The Word is already focused, but you've got to be lined up with the Word. You got to be focused on what the Word is focused on. You become a living unit of God. How great, he says. Oh, hallelujah. So, friends, if your appearing of Christ in this hour is different in the very least little way from the pattern that's in the scripture, then someone is messing with your focus. And you need to get refocused. You're worshiping the God of your imagination, or you're worshiping another Jesus. Paul warned us about that. He said, if some will come and teach another Jesus than the one that I taught, you might well bear with them. So some will say, well, we don't have divine healing today, right? I was raised under that nonsense. Others might say, well, okay, there still is divine healing, but Brother Doug, you're just majoring on a minor. And still others will say, we don't need those things anymore because that which is perfect is come. Right? You ever heard that one? We have the perfect word, so we don't need those things. the problem with that is those things are in the word. Yeah. Or let me put it another way. Those things are in this perfect word that you claim to have. Yeah. He didn't take it out. In fact, he's been trying to restore it over the last 2,000 years. And now we got it, and now we don't need it? That's ridiculous. What you need to do is tell that fellow to get his hands off your lens. You know, go play with your own camera, but leave mine alone. I'll turn the knob myself. Thank you very much. He has the lens focused so far away that he can't see anything clearly. You know, you get a telephoto lens or a zoom lens and zoom it way on out there, and you look into the woods and you don't even know what you're looking at half the time because you're just seeing, you know, you're just seeing a spot here. It's like the old saying, you know, you can't see the forest for the trees because you're staring at the trees in such detail you can't see the forest. So you need to have your lens focused properly. And you say, well, how do I know where to put the lens? How do I know where to focus it? Well, what's the word looking at? What's the word focused on? So the perfect word is Christ. That which is perfect is come. Christ is perfect, and he is the perfect word. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not changed in the very least detail. If he ever was a healer, he's a healer tonight. Amen. If he ever was a deliverer, if he ever delivered one person, he's obligated to do it again tonight. Because he changes not. If he said he ascended upon high and then gave gifts unto men, well, then that means he's still giving gifts unto men in every age, or he's not the same. You change his appearing in any way, shape, or form, and you're worshiping another Jesus besides the one of the Bible. Some have a big old fat grandpa, Santa Claus Jesus, right? You just sit on his lap and he asks you, have you been naughty or have you been nice? And, you know, well, I've been nice and grant me my three wishes or... you know, give me my Christmas present or whatever. I'll give you some hot chocolate, some kind of foolishness, you know. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. Another makes him a hippie Jesus, right? He's cool. He wears Birkenstocks. You know, he's got long hair just like them, and doesn't wear deodorant just like them. And I don't know what his hygiene was. It was whatever it was back in that time, but I don't want to look at those things. I don't want to pattern. I don't want to imagine what he was like physically and try to pattern after that when he's here spiritually. And that's the image that this image must reflect. Amen. So if we have the major, well, then we also have the minor. If you think divine healing is a minor, well, then I suppose your body change will be a minor too, because it is divine healing. Without divine healing, there'll be no body change. If we can't even see him in part heal us, how is he going to heal us in whole? So whatever is in the fullness is also that which was in part throughout the ages. So we have all of that plus whatever he's doing in our day. Amen? So people won't adjust their focus many times. They get stuck on stupid. They get stuck on, no, this is I got it right. This is the picture. So rather than adjusting the focus, they move the target. But friends, the word hasn't changed. If you get your focus right, it'll hit the target every time. If you're not hitting the target, it's your focus that needs to change, because the word hasn't changed. You can count on it. You can rely on it. You can trust it. Hallelujah. So don't move the target, and the word isn't going to change. So we are looking for the very same Jesus to appear in the word and then in the sky. And it's impossible for you to live any old way, and then one day the heavens split open and people are suddenly changed. It's not going to happen that way. That's fantasy. That's Walt Disney. His second coming is a secret coming, right? To the world, but not to his children. He comes in a word coming first. He reveals himself to you just as he promised that he would. Luke 17:30. Son of Man is being revealed. So if you see him now, you will see him in the air.
Amen.
It's the same Holy Spirit focusing us on the word for this day to obtain one goal, to obtain one achievement. And we're not looking to just be better or to change a little and then to plead the blood for everything else. I want to be delivered completely. I want to overcome everything in this walk through Satan's Eden, through his garden. I don't want to be overcome. I want to be the overcomer because that's who he says that I am. I don't want partial healing. I want total healing. And if I have it, if it hasn't manifested, I'm going to keep claiming it. If I go into the grave, I'll come up completely healed. But I won't accept partial healing. Because he's paid for my complete healing. In the same sense, I won't accept partial deliverance. Well, I'll keep this habit and keep that and, say this came from my grandpa or it's my grandmother or it's the Irish in me or whatever, make excuses. I want total deliverance. I want total deliverance from this corruption. So if my body change comes and it's not complete, I'm not going to say close enough. I want the whole thing. Or as we say here in the Southwest, I want the whole enchilada. Don't tease me with it. So we prepare for that final change by facing the mountains that are put in front of us. And by, as we said this morning, friends, you've got to keep your focus, right? We all have trials. We all have mountains that we face. We all have things that come against us. We all have obstacles that seemingly that are in our way. But what you need to do is change your focus so that you can see him, because he's always there. There's never a situation, there's never a circumstance, there's never a trial, there's never an opposition where he's not there. He said, I will be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. So he's always there. So what you need to do is look for him and live. He's the captain of your salvation. That means he goes before you. He's the one that's the general of the army. He's the one that's marching forward and we're following him. He's the pillar of fire that's leading us on this journey. So we need to look to him and follow his cues, knowing that he will not be defeated. So when you look at your trial, when you look at your circumstances, when you look at your situation, you need to realize you're not the one fighting the battle. You're not the one that's facing the situation. He is. But you've got to look to him and follow him. He'll make a way, but you've got to follow him. You can't go your own way. You can't do it yourself. You've got to follow him. And then he gives you the victory. But he fought the battle. The word fought the battle. And the word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. He's undefeated. He's the only one that's undefeated. And he doesn't have to prove it to anybody, but he does prove it over and over and over again. The devil's no match for him, friends. Whatever your circumstances are, they're no match for him. Give him a chance to prove himself to you. Look for him. Look for his appearing in your life. Oh, we're such experts at pointing out the devil. How is it that we can point out all the negative? We are such experts at that. We can see it all, and we just want to tell everybody, especially when it comes to conspiracy, you know. Well, this is happening. I'm so smart, and that's happening. You're looking at the wrong thing. Look to him. If all that's there, that's just peripheral. Look to him. Don't glorify conspiracy. God's greater than any kind of imagination. Hallelujah. Or otherwise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will and you shall have it. How many believes that? Yeah. So we must start using what we already have. We don't need a new message. We don't need some new doctrine preached. We need to just put into action what we already have. Friends, the revival is on. And the revival is within you. You are the revival. Amen. And this revival ends in a body change. Glory to God. God gave you his word to defeat the devil. But you have to start speaking. And if you're not looking to the word, if you're not looking to him, you don't even know what to say. Well, Brother Baker, the book isn't open, so we need to wait. Blind leading the blind. That's ridiculous, friends. Why send Elijah the prophet then? Listen, friends, Christ, the living word, is here. Just as he said he would be in his many-membered body, in his church. Well, we're waiting for an anointing before we do anything. You're already anointed. You got a sleep devil on you. The mighty angel Christ has descended, and his anointing has come down, and he has given to you, Revelation chapter 10, 1, he has given to you an open book, and you have been told to come and take it and eat it and become one with it and then prophesy again. In other words, say what it says. Speak. Speak to your condition. Speak to your circumstance. Let Christ anoint you. Become an anointed one. There's all kinds of devil anointed ones out there. How about a Christian? Let him anoint your eyes so that you can clearly see the promised word for your day. And realize, friends, you can have what you say. Well, what if I ask for a Cadillac? You ain't even saved yet. What color would you like? You have to say what the word says. Now, if you can find Cadillac in the Bible, then go ahead. Nothing wrong with a Cadillac, but you ain't going to speak it into existence. Because you don't have faith for that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. He's not going to give you faith for that. So you have to say what the word says about it, because he's only going to anoint his word. Amen? In other words, you have to say the right thing. And the word of God placed on a believing human lip is the same thing as deity speaking, because God honors his word. Our part is to believe. So Satan will always back away from the living word. He doesn't have to back up to a quote or a theological discussion or some kind of religious thing or something that was put up on a bathroom wall. He won't back up to that, and you shouldn't either. But he will back up from the living word, because the living word is Christ. God said, I am the Lord that heals a few of your diseases. Hit and miss, some. Maybe, if I'm not tired. I am the Lord that heals all of your disease. So he's bigger than any mountain that is before you. And the church says, but Brother Doug, I'm waiting for my adoption before I begin to speak. Where'd you get that screwball idea? Another preacher that shouldn't be preaching obviously taught you that. If you are born by the word, born of the word by the Spirit, then you've received your adoption. The fullness of your adoption, it's for the whole corporal body all at one time. That's the redemption of your body. That's the fullness. As Brother Paul tells us that. But you have already been born into the family, and you've already been adopted and placed into your position. How are you going to fulfill your position if you haven't been placed yet? You've been placed in your position, and you've been commissioned to finish the work that was started 2,000 years ago, but culminates in our day. And it's Christ's work, but he's going to do it through you. You are not going to be a son or daughter of God. You are now sons and daughters of God. And you've been called and you've been placed into service. So don't get out of focus. Don't go off on these false teachings that stall so many people along the way. There's not another message that's been promised to come, so we're not waiting on something else. And neither is there one that's needed. Everything we have need of is here. And friends, if this message can't turn your heart back to Christ, to the Christ of all the ages, nothing can. Take the message that you have and speak it. Run with it. God is trying to get us to look to Him, and He is His Word. As a man thinketh, so is he. God's thoughts is God's character and God's nature. He appears to those that are looking for His appearing. So I'm not looking for church. I'm not looking for theology. I'm not looking for social whatever. I'm looking for Him, right? And He appears, as the scripture says, to those that are looking for His appearing. I'm not saying He'll appear to you physically. We're not expecting that. We'll see Him physically when we meet Him in the air. So the question I have for you tonight is, are you looking for Jesus in your situation? Are you looking for Him to appear in your situation? Well, Brother Doug, I have a family crisis, and it's the greatest. I never thought I'd have a crisis like that. Well, he did. My question to you tonight is your crisis bigger than him? Okay, I get it. You can see your family crisis. I get that, right? But can you see Jesus right in front of your family crisis? He's there too. Okay, that was weak. He's there too. The problem is we leave him out of the picture. But we should instead keep our eyes on him, because he knows what to do in every situation that comes our way. There's no situation where he goes, oh man, I never thought of that one. You know, this one's got me stumped. Hold on, Brother Doug, just struggle a little while longer while I go to headquarters and try and get this straightened out. There must have been a mess up somewhere. You know, some devil's doing something to you that I never saw coming. Wow. That's not the God that you serve tonight. He knows what to do in every situation. And he's the word of God is nigh thee, even on thy lips. So the question tonight is, can you see Jesus? First of all, you have to be looking for him. But can you see Jesus in your situation? Because he's there. If you can't see him, you need to readjust your focus, because you're zoomed in on something else and you're missing Jesus in the picture. He has to be there somewhere in your trial, because he said he would not put more on you than you could bear. There is no temptation that has come upon you such as common to man, but with every temptation he'll provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, we used to think, I don't know why, but it's just the way the human mind works, but we used to think years back that meant he's going to take that trial away from you so that you would bear it. But that's not, he said he will make a way for you so that you can bear it. So you're saying, I can't bear this trial. He says, yeah, you can. And here's how. I'm going to make a way for you. We're going right through this so that you can bear it. You won't be overcome by it, but you'll come through on the other side. How many can say amen to that? So he has to be there somewhere. We can so easily recognize the devil in our life situations and testify of it. But God's there also. And God is bigger than our enemy. He's bigger than our situation. Whatever it is that we're going through, and friends, I'm not trying to minimize what you're going through. They're very real trials, and they're very real temptations, and there's very real anguish and suffering and pain, but there's a very real God there too. There's very real joy and very real peace and very real rest and deliverance and hope for any situation that you find yourself in. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
So some of us will just go around and around and around the mountain, just like the children of Israel did, instead of looking for Jesus and going on. Friends, he said we could take this at once, and he's ready to take us all the way, but we have to be willing to look to him and follow him. As we read here a few services ago, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So if you, in other words, if you legitimize your circumstances, and your circumstances are lying vanities. If sickness comes upon you, yes, you feel it. Yes, there might be symptoms. Yes, the doctor can diagnose it and say it's such and such and such and such. But the scripture says it's a lying vanity. Because the scripture says, by his stripes we are healed. Right? So if you take God at his word, then your symptoms are lying vanities. Those that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. How are you going to obtain the mercy that God has already provided for you if instead you're focused on the lying vanities and giving life to them, legitimizing them, letting that become your reality? So, but Brother Doug, I prayed and my symptoms got worse. Well, your heartless pastor is going to respond to that. I say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Satan's out of bed. And he's going to lose. He's desperate. But his end is near. And he must give way to the word of God. Listen to this out of the adoption message. Paul told the Roman, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. If you've got faith enough for your own self to be saved, have faith enough no matter how wayward that boy is. I hope somebody's listening tonight. No matter how wayward. Oh, but how wayward could that one be? And then we look at that. Well, you know, there's degrees. Well, you know, if they do this, then they've crossed the line. Or if they do that. No matter how wayward. No matter how wayward. No matter how wayward. That boy is, or that girl is, they'll be saved anyhow. God somehow, if he has to lay them on their back, laying there in a hospital dying, they'll be saved. That's thus saith the Lord. We have that promise, if you can believe that. God promised it, the inheritance. Oh, and they shall be there, said Isaiah, and all their offspring with them. Amen. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Amen. He says, oh, I got a little spot I hope I can get to tonight for you. Just burning in my heart of that comes back to that. But now on forward, he says. So, friends, the Bible is filled with accounts of, think about it now, accounts of wayward sons and wayward daughters that the Lord himself delivered and brought back unto himself. In fact, we were all prodigal sons and daughters. We were all wayward. We came to this world wayward. And so what we need to do is line our confession up with the promise and quit lining our confession up with the lying vanities, with the symptoms. God, you'll save them somehow. I don't know how, but they're my property. And as the children of Israel said, I'm not going to leave one hoof behind in Egypt. I'm taking everything that belongs to me. So you've got to line it up with God's promises. In other words, you are God's instrument to bring that promise into this dimension and apply it by speaking it. So we're talking about speaking the word. Just saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. You just spoke the word. Because that's what the word says. Somebody has to agree with it. He said it in heaven, but he needs somebody on the earth to agree with that. Oh, that's his will. You think that that's your anguish? That's his anguish, and you're experiencing it. He's moving on your heart, so you'll move. So you'll line your confession up. Hallelujah. So our focus has to be right. Everyone's eyes are going to come open and we'll see the supernatural eventually. Did you know that? The question is not if, but when. Right? We're all familiar with the story of the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man ends up in hell, and he's begging for a drop of water, and he's wanting someone to come and then go back and tell his brothers so that they don't end up in the same place. So the rich man's eyes were opened one day in hell. Yeah. but it was one day too late. So there are things that are going on all around us all the time. There's supernatural things taking place. Angels are ascending and descending, just as the word declared. The supernatural is taking place in lives all around us. Just because people can't see it with their natural eyes doesn't mean it isn't happening. It's actually more real than anything that you see in the natural, because everything in the natural will come to an end. But God's word will not pass away. So human beings, they put so much trust in the way they feel, or the way they think, or the way they imagine. But you must get away from your feelings. I'm trying to help you tonight, friends. We rely on these feelings, and we want other people to pet these feelings. They're not your friend. You don't want sympathy. Sympathy isn't going to help you. You know, my boss used to tell me one time, he said, sympathy and $2 won't buy you a cup of coffee. We don't need sympathy. We need the word. I want to get through it. I don't want somebody to feel sorry for me. I want to get through it. I want to see God's word made manifest. If I was out in the battle and bullets are flying left and right and people are shooting at me and, you know, it's dark and my feet are cold and whatever, I wouldn't want somebody to come so I could tell them, oh, you know, please feel sorry for me. What good would that do? I mean, I could tell them a story that would bring a tear to a glass eye. I could work it up, you know, oh, we're out here and we haven't eaten in 30 days and, you know, this one's dead and that one's shot and I don't have any shoes. Okay. All right. How'd that help me? Come on, friends. Some people actually want to stay in that position so that they can just get sympathy. I don't want sympathy. I want deliverance. I want victory. I want to get past that. That's not to say that we don't feel for one another. We do. But there's a difference between feeling for somebody and just wallowing in self-pity. Hallelujah. So we must get away from feelings. We can't trust our feelings. I don't trust my own feelings. Feelings don't direct my life or arbitrate for me in situations or discern for me. My feelings can't determine what's right and what's wrong. Feelings are just fine when they line up with God's word. But we don't run our lives by every fickle feeling that comes along, because feelings change. If I ran my life entirely by feelings, I would never experience healing. Because when I'm sick, I don't feel healed. I wouldn't experience salvation because I don't feel saved all the time. Okay, that was weak. Maybe you don't feel delivered, but we don't go by feelings. So we need to act on God's word and line our confession up with what God has said, and he'll bring it to pass. So the natural mind will always try to operate by intelligence, because that's how your mind is wired up. That's how your spirit realm is. Your intelligence is what tells you that you're sick. Otherwise, how would you know? And then it goes and searches the internet to find out how long you have to live. That's your intelligence, or lack of it. But the spiritual mind looks right away to the word. And what does the word say? I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word to heal thy disease. I am the God that heals. If there be any sick amongst you, call the elders of the church, anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If two or more agree concerning anything, you can have it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are the things I want to look to. The positive things. The things that actually get things done for me in my life. So the spiritual mind will look right away to the word of God. And we'll recognize our God has never lost a battle. So friends, I do care about whatever you're going through physically. Please don't let the devil lie to you and give you a complex and say he doesn't care. I do care. Just as I care about whatever situation I'm going through, but I'm here to tell you that whatever you're going through is not bigger than God.
Amen.
You say, but my case is so much harder than anybody else. Guess what? Your testimony is going to be so much greater. God's going to get so much more glory. I believe that tonight. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
He's never lost a battle. And if we look to him, we will overcome. We will not be overcome. We are to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have overcame and had sat in my Father's throne. Well, how are you going to overcome? By the word that he gives you that will produce a testimony. By the word of my testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So you will only win the battle when you go by what God says, because God's only going to back up what he said. That's why that should be our complete focus. His word will solve every problem, everything that you face, every situation that you go through. The ones that you think are so hopeless, the ones that you think, oh, it shouldn't happen and I shouldn't be in this situation and why me and poor me. He's an expert at solving those. And yes, you are supposed to go through that, by the way. You just don't like it, and I don't either. But when we come through the other way, we can all admit, wow, I'm so much better off. I'm not asking for it again, but I'm so much better off. So if we can just get in the presence of God, we'll that's why we have to get into the Spirit, then we'll have a different view. We'll have a different focus. So how is it that we can have one faith and yet have so many different interpretations of it? Somebody's gotten out of focus. Plain and simple. We all need to have the same focus as those that first received, and if, you know, this faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the same faith that we want to receive and act upon and accept in this hour. So if we all have the same focus as they had in the beginning, guess what? We'll see the same results.
Amen.
Don't wait for something. The future's now. God wants to see what his word has declared. He wants to see it lived out in every manner in your life. And his word tells us what he likes. His word tells us what he doesn't like. His word tells us what's right, what's wrong, what his will is, what his word is, what he wants done with it. So if the word declares how a Christian should act, well, then we should act that way. If not, we're out of focus and we need to get refocused. This is a day of excuses. If there ever was a day, this is the day of excuses. But, you know, even the parable of the wedding takes place in our day, right? We're going to the wedding supper, not the wedding. And so many were invited, and they made excuses. It's showing what our day would be like. And then he said, well, go out. There's still room. Go out in the highways, byways, and hedges and compel people to come, because those that were first invited, they made an excuse. They aren't coming. And friends, one excuse is just as good as another or just as worthless as another. It's a day of excuses, but there are no excuses that will be acceptable on that day. You will not be able to bring a note from your mommy. You will not be able to say the dog this or my wife that. For we have all been given all that we need to overcome the powers of darkness in this hour. No excuses. No excuses. And it's the living word. So we're no longer slaves, but we've been set free. God's word has set you free. To whom the Son is set free, he is free indeed. And the Lord Jesus has not enslaved you under another sort of religious slavery, but he set you completely free. Listen, friends, you should never fear again. I don't care who you are. You should not accept fear. We've been given another spirit. We have not the spirit of fear again, right? But we have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father. So you've been placed here for a purpose, and you've got to keep your eye focused. It's not complicated. It's just you got to put your attention toward it. Others are looking for something to happen. But those of us that have our focus on the Word, we see the Word in action right now. That's why I'm telling you, you don't need to wait, because we could see the Word doing what it's supposed to do right now. It's happening.
Amen.
Daily. But if we don't see the living Word, we need to get refocused. So some, you know, imagine this. You've got a picture, a mural, and some will point you to something that's very true. In this portion of the mural is the future. This is going to happen, right? Or they'll point you to the past, and they want your focus to be on the past so that you're still, you know, growing a beard and trying to be an Old Testament, you know, trying to be in the shadow. You know, the Sabbath in the Old Testament, it was a day of rest. You weren't supposed to work, but it was foreshadowing the rest that would come when you die out and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You enter into that rest. So once you've entered into that rest, why would you want to go back to the shadow and live, you know, well, we got to keep Saturday or, you know, the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Why would you want to go back to the shadow when you have the real? It just shows that people's eyes are not open to what's taking place in their day. So, looking at this mural, they'll point to, here's what the scripture says, and this is what's going to happen in the future, or here's what took place in the past. That's all fine. But what I want you to show me is, where is the motion in that picture? In other words, where's the living Word? That Word's been fulfilled. That Word will be fulfilled. But show me, if you want me to focus on that, you got to show me Jesus in that picture. Right? You got to show me that this is where he's at right now. Right? But he's not there. And he's not there. He's right here. So don't look to the future or the past. Look to him. Look to the present. That's the only God you're ever going to know. It's the one that's here right now anyway. So you are called in this hour, friends, to be more than just a maker of bricks for Pharaoh. You have a higher calling than that. And we see clearly that Moses was born for a purpose. But so are you. So am I. God has placed you here in this end time to tear Satan's kingdom down and to do violence to it and to cast Satan out. But we will never do it as long as we're focused on the natural things instead of being focused on the calling that's in our lives. So when things don't go the way that we think they should, and we've all faced that before, we say, our first response a lot of times is, what did I do wrong? Or what did I do to deserve this? Why does it have to do with, if you're a son or daughter of God, you're not getting what you deserve, so don't even go there. You deserve hell. You're not getting it. You deserve death. You're not getting that. Job didn't look at what he did or how many times that he failed. Instead, he looked at his bloody sacrifice, and he knew that he was forgiven. He sat there on that ash heap when he had no place else to look. He had an ash heap, and the ashes were what was left of his sacrifice. He offered God his sacrifice. He met his requirement. He had nowhere else to look, so he just sat down right there on the ash heap and said, I know I've met God's requirement. I may have boils. My family may have left. The church may have left. They may be, my comforters may be telling me I'm a secret sinner, but I know. But I know. But I know. I've met God's requirement, and I'm not moving. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm not going to get the bulldozer out and go digging in the backyard to find out if there's some secret something or other. I'm sincere. I know my Redeemer liveth. I'm sincere. And if I've done something, I would repent. I would make it right. So if there's something that isn't right, God hasn't shown me. So it must not be there. I've met his requirement. Friends, we've got to have that same approach here tonight. We have us. Satan will say, but you've done plenty wrong. Well, Job did plenty wrong too. But we have a sacrifice. And we're not counting on our works. We're counting on our sacrifice. Because God's looking at your sacrifice. Not at your deeds, but your sacrifice. So our healing is not based on whether we've done everything right or wrong. Come on, church. Well, if I could just live better, then I could get healed. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It has to do with your healer. It's based on our sacrifice and whether you will confess it, whether you will agree with it. Satan would love to get us focused on our conditions and then from that get us mad at the church or mad at each other, mad at God, mad at our neighbors, mad at the people on the road. But friends, I want to put all of my trust in Him. And I want to judge Him faithful who gave me the promise. I want to say He's faithful. I want that to be my testimony. No matter what situation, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how deep my trial, no matter how much my anguish, I want to hold that confession. And I want to say, I count Him worthy. I count Him faithful who gave me the promise. And He cannot fail. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. James tells us the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? And so Satan will come along. Oh, so you think you're righteous? Well, friends, just turn it right back around on him. Say, righteousness has been impugned to me. I'm not righteous in myself. He has granted that I would be arrayed in linen, pure and white. He has given me His righteousness. My righteousness is His filthy rags, but He took my rags and gave me His righteousness. And if He said so, I agree. No matter how it might look or no matter what I might think, I'm agreeing with the Word. So devil, your battle's with Him, not with me. Don't make your battle between you and the devil. Always point it to the Word, because the Word is his enemy, and the Word will defeat him every time. Look away to Jesus. God allows tests to come. How many believe that? James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all a joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Really, Joey? Joy? Really? What book is this? What was James high on that day? Count it a joy? You got to be kidding me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. But you do have to ask. And upbraideth not. He's not going to say, now that was a dumb question. And it shall be given to him. And it shall be given to him. And it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he may receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So friends, I challenge you tonight, either be a believer or the best unbeliever that you can be. But don't try to be something in the middle. Well, glory to God. If you're going to be a bum, don't ever work a day in your life. Now, God never gives you a trial, but trials come, and He allows them to come for your good, because all things work together for your good. So your trial is to prove that you're not going to bow down. And your trial is actually going to cause you to overcome. You're going to see overcoming in your trial, And it's going to be vindicated. It's going to build your faith. You know, sin gave mankind evil, but God knows what He's placed in you, and God has confidence that you will overcome evil with good. Sin brought disease. Sin brought sickness. Sin brought to us an imperfect world that we were born into without a choice. But God wasn't worried. He didn't stay up late at night. Well, you know, poor Mike, this is what's going to happen. These trials are going to come. And no, God knows that you're going to overcome. In fact, He equipped you before you got here. You came out equipped. You came out ready for battle. You just didn't know who you were and which side you were on yet. But one day He called you up. The phone rang. The red phone rang. The hotline. And you said, "Who's this?" And He says, "This is your father."
Amen.
Amen. And you said, "Father, Father, Father, I came from You. You're my point of origin. I was once in You. And now I'm here. And I'm going back to You one day. But in the meantime, You're going to watch over me every step of the way. And You're going to make sure that I make it back. My desire is to return to My Father's house." So God wasn't worried about your trials. He saw everything that was going to come. He wasn't a bit worried about it because He knows that you will overcome. Because He's given you His word. And He knows that His word will defeat the devil anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. So God gave you His word, and He placed it in your mouth, becoming the living word of your testimony. So what is your overcoming testimony? We're pulling over. What is your overcoming testimony this evening? You have one. Or are you just pulling pages off the calendar, one turning into the next? Oh, I hope this COVID ends. Even this COVID is for a purpose. If nothing more, to make me appreciate how much I want to hug your neck, and if you're a guy, shake your hand if otherwise. You know how much I miss a good handshake? Where's Jonathan? Huh? Fernando. You know what I mean. Close enough. No, it ain't. He knows my name. Sorry, AJ. Just be glad this wasn't for you. You ducked that one, buddy. I came out front. We kind of did a little of this. And he says, "When do I get to shake your hand?" Oh, yeah. It's like, okay, I've known you for about a year now. We finally get to shake your hand. Don't it feel good?
Amen.
You know, I'll just give you a warning here. If you shake my hand, don't put a dead fish in my hand, okay? That just creeps me out. Ah! Or give me the little two-finger one. You ever get one of those? What that says is, I really don't want to touch you. But I'm going to do it because, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. I'll give you part of a handshake. Brother Branham said, I like a man that gives me a pump handle shake. Right? Now, I know what that is because my grandparents had farms and they had wells, and you had to prime the pump, and you had to take that pump handle, and it was a lot of effort, and you had to really squeeze. And anybody ever milked a cow before? Yeah. How easy is it? Oh, they make it sound easy, right? Just go and squeeze, right? Please come out. All right, somebody go get the vice grips. You got to have a firm hand. You end up with a strong hand and strong forearms with that. Well, a pump handle handshake is somebody that just... So a pump handle goes like this. It starts up here and it goes down, right? So a pump handle handshake is this. Can I have my arm back? When I'm done, I'm trying to work you up. Hallelujah. I'm just teasing you here tonight. Whatever handshake you got is just fine. I'd just be glad to have it. Hallelujah. What is your overcoming testimony tonight? Each and every one of us, we need to look that devil right in the eye. And we need to tell him, Sister Susan, look him right in the eye and say, you know what? I wasn't called to be defeated. That's not my purpose. God didn't put me here for that reason. So whether I make mistakes or not, he's undefeated. So devil, I'm being watched over. I'm under special care and handling. I'm insured. I'm insured to my destination. How many knows you're insured? Or assured? Blessed assurance. I will reach my destination. The price has been paid. And Satan, you can't break that seal. You can't get to me. You can't defeat me. Guess what? You can't even find me. Because you'd have to break the seal to find me. And if you broke that seal and got into where I am, you'd be my brother. Right? But you'd have to humble yourself to do that. And that ain't never going to happen. So I want you to say it tonight. Now, if you can't say it, there's an altar. I was supposed to remind you that here this morning, but I forgot. You know, with COVID, maybe we've been afraid to just let go. You know, you don't need an altar to come to, but it's why not? And if we can't let go here, I don't believe for a minute. So I sat through nonsense for, you know, people are embarrassed of Pentecost, embarrassed of emotion, trying to say they're the big word, and half of them were backslid, and they're just trying to justify. But they'd say, oh, no, it's all for your prayer closet. Well, listen, I don't believe for a moment that you're getting out of just, you know, letting go and shouting and screaming and worshiping God in your prayer closet, then you come here like a piece of granite. There's more of them here than there is in your prayer closet. You've got a lick of fire. There's a pillar of fire here tonight. Hallelujah. Don't you love them? So I want you to tell the devil tonight. Repeat after me. I wasn't called to be defeated. By you. Or any other thing that comes my way. I'm equipped. I'm armed. I'm dangerous to your kingdom. To the kingdoms of this world. And I have the last word. I have the final word. In the final age. What is that final word, friends? I am an overcomer. Out of your own mouth. You say that, God will make it happen. I want you to look at that mountain that's in your way tonight. And I want you to say, mountain, you must move. I'm taking a body change. I'm taking my family. I'm overcoming in Satan's Eden. Sickness will not hold me back. Depression will not hold me back. Being friendless will not hold me back. What a friend I have in Jesus. If I have him, what else do I need? Nothing's going to keep me from my goal. I'm focused. I'm dangerous. I'm on a path. And the word is going before me. The sharpest sword there is in the universe is going before me. And my enemy is already defeated. Whatever I confess on earth, my high priest is confessing in heaven tonight. It's a battle, but you and I are victors. I am looking unto Jesus, and he will appear to me. Friends, when I get prayed for, I don't want to look for the devil. I want to look for Jesus. I want to look to him and I want to live tonight.
Amen.
I don't want to just live. I want to live.
Amen.
Amen. I want to prosper in health even as my soul prospers. I want to look for him in every situation in my life. I want to look for him when I'm on the, you know, so much of the time we want to shout in meeting and then we say, oh, wasn't it good? And he really came. He was here when you were in the valley.
Amen.
You just weren't looking for him.
Amen.
I want to look for him in every part of my life. Every situation. Help me, Lord. Help me. Remind me. Help me to look to you. I forget sometimes, Lord, and I try to do something myself.
Amen.
Or I complain, or I tell somebody else about my problem. I forget that you're right there.
Amen.
That you're my high priest, and you're just waiting for me to say something that could put you into action and change the situation.
Amen.
Help me to remember that, Lord. Help me to keep my focus. Is there anyone else that has that prayer tonight? Your natural senses will bear witness to what the devil's doing, but your faith will declare what God is doing. Let's stand. Look to him tonight, friends, and see his appearing in whatever your situation is. Do not fear. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Oh, friends. He wants us to experience his love more than we are experiencing. He has so much more love for us. But as long as we're not looking to him and expecting it and giving him the opportunity, how are we going to experience it? He's waiting patiently. He'll take whatever you get him. Give him. He deserves your very best. How many believes that? But if you won't give him your very best, he'll take whatever you will give him. Let's give him everything. Let's say, Jesus, you're my reason for living. You're my everything. I want to look to you in every part of my life. I want to keep my eye on your word. I want to take you at your word. You know, I hear over and over and over, especially in this kind of time, and it's a good thing, I think. But I hear over and over by so many, well, who are we supposed to believe? Well, how about believing him? There's only one that you can believe. And Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know who I have believed. And he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There's one that you can trust tonight. There's one that you can count on tonight. There's one that will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And will tell you the truth in love. Will chasten you if need be. Will correct you if need be, but it's love. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for not looking for you in traffic, in the schoolroom, at work. We get prayer requests so many times. You know, I'm having this problem at work or with this individual or whatever. And it's good. I'm glad that you're asking and you got a need and you're coming forth for prayer. But what we need to realize is that God wants to solve that for you. And he's there in that situation. But are we looking for him? We may think, well, I can't wait till I get to church so I can look for him there. And tell him there, or maybe the Israel trip, so I can go write it on a note and stick it in the wall, you know, the Western wall. Surely he'll hear my prayer. He's right there. He's on the scene with that person that's anointed with something. And he's told you in his word, give a soft answer, take the low road. You'll see him come on the scene. He's gentle. He's meek. He won't come boisterously. He's not going to give your boss a black eye. But a soft answer many times will heap coals upon people's heads, on their conscience. And they'll apologize to you. They'll be embarrassed because you took the low road and they realize that. How many knows that's true? I don't know who this is for, but this is specific, so take it, okay? Take the low road. Quit talking about what you deserve. You don't deserve anything. Take the low road. Jesus deserves a whole lot more than any of us, and he took the low road. I want to follow in his footsteps. Learn of him. He's meek, he's lowly, but he's powerful. And he's still undefeated. Aren't you proud of him tonight? He's still undefeated. All these superheroes of people, there's only one superhero, and it's him. Everything else is just doesn't even make the cut. Who cares if this guy can leap tall buildings in a single bound? My Lord can walk through that building. He can eat a fish sandwich and walk through that building, and the fish sandwich will come with him. And what can your guy do? Well, my guy can beat up your guy. Well, my guy can speak your guy out of existence. My guy created your guy and everything else. Hallelujah. You love him tonight? Let's bow our heads, Father. As we stand before you tonight, Lord, we help us, Lord, to be more mindful. Help us to be more focused. Lord, we're not doing anything sinful. We're not doing anything. We're not trying to be negligent, but Lord, we have to sometimes be nudged to be reminded that we're in a battle, and that the rules of this battle is that you're on our side, that you know the way through the wilderness, that you have defeated our enemy. But Lord, we've got to follow you, follow your leading, and we've got to call upon you. We've got to say what you say. We've got to call upon your word in our time of need, and you will cause that to come to pass, and you will take us through that trial to the other side, and we will wear the victory belt, carry the victory trophy. You are the overcomer, but you give to us the victory. What a wonderful thing. We're not deserving of it, but Lord, we'll certainly take it. That's your great love for us. Lord, if you've done so much to express that great love, that surely we could give you a little bit more time to look for you in every situation in our lives. We want to rejoice. We want to praise you. We want to give you thanks. But we also want to call upon you when the enemy's coming in like a flood. You said that you would raise up a standard. That standard is you. It's your word. We want to look for you in each and every situation. Lord, the human part of us, it's just natural. It's our humanity. The human part of us would want to go lean on somebody's shoulder, would want to go cry our eyes out with someone, and there's a place for that at times. But Lord, you're the shoulder that we need to run to. You're the one that we need to cry out to. And Lord, you'll do everything to settle us down. And then you'll say, why cry? Speak. I've given you the word. Now speak. Don't cry about it. Here's the solution. You're anguishing with this situation. Here's the way out. Don't cry. Speak. Lord, may we become adjusted to that kind of behavior. May we be in expectation to see the mighty, victorious one fighting our battle in every situation, in every part of our lives. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? I know that that's what you want for us. May we keep that as our focus. We love you and we thank you now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many of you want to just lift your hand up and say, Lord, that's my prayer. I want to see you in every part of my life. I don't want to just see you on the mountaintop. I want to see you in the valley. I want to see you in the worst situations that I'm going through. I want to see you in the times when I'm excited, when I'm rejoicing with my family or friends. I want to see you there too. I want to include you in every part of my life, and I want to look for you. I look for your appearing. If that's you, just lift your hand to him tonight. Say, Lord, that's me tonight. That's what I want. I want more of you, and so I'm going to look for you. I want to look for your appearing, for surely I will see you if I'm looking for your appearing. Won't you grant it tonight, Lord? We ask this in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He was there all the time. Yes, he was there. How many believes that? That's what he said. Yes, he was there all the time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He was there all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just had something come to my mind. I apologize, but there's some meetings. There's some virtual meetings taking place. There's, I think, six or so ministers from around the globe that are ministering for meetings that are in India right now. And I told them that we would pray for those meetings. It started today. Actually, I was invited to take a few services, but it didn't work out for me, and I put it before the Lord, prayed about it. This isn't a good time. We'd certainly love to be a part of something like that down the road, but will you pray? Will you pray for those meetings? You know, they're under a lot of pressure right now. They're going through this COVID thing and other things, but you know, he's there for them too. But we want to unite our faith together, and your prayer matters. Amen. One more time. He was there all the time.